Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mean Green Nation Podcast, and I know we promised like another one of these a lot sooner, but you know, life's been throwing curveballs at me, and I've been dealing with them, filing them off, more like it, I guess. It's not really, that's a weird analogy, but it's fine. That you can kind of see I'm not totally on my game right now, but we're here. The first game of the season has snuck up upon us. Mr. Aldo, how are you doing up there in Denton? Are you still in Denton?
Yeah, just outside of Denton. I'm in the country now.
Okay. I think you and are you you live next to Seth Luttrell now? Didn't he live in Argyle or something?
Opposite direction.
Oh, okay. You were north, is that it?
East.
East. You're way out there. Well, that's cool. So how are things up out east of Denton?
Well, pretty busy. All the gas stations have cars lined up out in the street going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all of this time, it's all been contributing to it. I've been super busy. So I want to apologize to anybody who's been like, whatever happened to Mean Green Nation? Is that guy ever going to do it? Yes. I wanted to, A, finish up this season preview thing that I've been stuck on. And I've literally fallen asleep with like my laptop open, trying to write it in the middle of the night. But I've been super busy at work and then with life, a bunch of crazy stories that I will tell you if you buy me a whiskey when I go we go up to Denton this weekend. But given that we're just conversing over digital media right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just tell you that I've been super busy and I've been really disappointed that I haven't been able to blog or podcast or do all the fun stuff follow our team. So college football has snuck up upon us. We play Friday night games now. As we speak, Oklahoma State is whooping up on Tulsa. I believe UCF is still whooping up on FIU. And who else
got Indiana? Yeah. Indiana's up on Oklahoma State 14-13. Ohio State.
Yeah. The other OSU. And let's see. Stanford just demolished Rice. That was embarrassing.
Bless their hearts.
That was embarrassing. So, you know, lots of things going on. And all of this, and then there's a hurricane, right? Kind of dampening everybody's excitement. You can't get super sports Haiti up here because, you know, people are dying down in Houston. For my part, I'm down here in San Antonio. We are fine. It's not a big deal. A couple of my friends are texting me like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, actually, it's just kind of windy and a little drizzly. Not that big a deal. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers. We are thinking them and praying them, I guess, to everybody in Houston. I don't really have much to say about that besides make sure that your contributions towards the relief effort are going to reputable organizations. As awful as it sounds, some people are just trying to rip you off. They'll take advantage of disaster to do so.
And it happens every single time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people responding to it, various celebrities, great and small. My barber was even like, yeah, I'm going to take Friday off. I'm going to take my bunch of stuff down there and go deliver it. Is that a good thing? Does anybody know? Is it like just to randomly volunteer from another city? Just like, I'm just going to drive down there and see if I can lend a hand. Like, where do you go? You just drive and see if you can pull people out of the water or something? Like, what is your plan?
I mean, that's what they did during the middle of the hurricane is people just drove down with their boats and started pulling people out of the water.
Yeah. If you don't have a boat, then I feel like you're just kind of a liability. If you just have a bunch of grocery bags in the back with water and maybe some food. I'm not saying that is not useful, but I think also that's the other thing. Take care. Make sure you're not just becoming a victim also, you know? Like, I'm going to go drive down there and save my friends, and then you just drive into what is now a lake, and then you're like, oh, shit, now I need some help. don't do that. Just heads up. Everybody think a little bit. Fun thing. Joel Osteen got roasted there. How about that?
How about that? Yeah, I mean, he's been backtracking. It's been kind of crazy.
Yeah, so, and then Mattress Mac, UNT alum.
Stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, God, who knew the mattress guy would come out of this whole thing looking amazing, huh? So, big stuff's going on, real life stuff. And we can think a little bit about this silly little game that we like to follow, played by 18 to 22-year-olds who spend a lot of their time, an inordinate amount of time, practicing, preparing for this sport. And we're excited about it. I'm excited about it. I feel like it's not even going to happen, but it's 2 days away. Aldo, how excited are you for the first game of the season, which, as of right now, will be played? And the beginning of the 2017 football season.
Super excited. I mean, I just started getting excited this week. It kind of snuck up on me as well. Mm-hmm. Last week, and I was like, next week is game week.
Yeah, it's weird.
And Monday came along, and I was like, oh, man, it's it's time to get excited, start tweeting.
Yeah, got to get my Twitter thumbs in shape. All right, so... I wrote a little post on the site where I was kind of talking about how it feels different. It feels a lot different going into this season than last season, for a lot of different reasons. Like, at least for me, you can kind of react to this. I don't want to speak for you here, because of the changes, and we've seen Brett Vito basically chronicling the changes in the athletic department. That have come under the regime and the leadership of Mr. Rent Baker. It feels like a different team. I don't recognize, you know, the rhythms of the marketing, plan of the athletic department. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that. I just kind of already knew what they were going to tweet, or I already knew how they were going to market the game. It's just been different. Like, they invited the ticket over. They said, hey, you know, you get a little half off ticket prices, you know, if you use a promo code ticket P1, that's a nice little tie-in that seems obvious that North Texas wouldn't have done before. We would have been like, hey, look, the ticket's here, and that's it. But now we're like, hey, the ticket's here, by the way, buy a ticket. You know what I mean? Like, all of it's kind of tied together nicely, at least it seems to me. A lot of social media stuff happening. Like, you always see active, you know, participation on Twitter now. It's all kind of ramped up a little bit. Everything just feels a little bit different. They're buying new things, like, look at this thing, and they tweet it. And I don't so much like Ren Baker saying, yeah, we're really excited about these creating Instagram moments, you know, it's good for the brand. I don't like hearing people say brand. I absolutely hate people saying brand. It makes me want to die. But everything feels a little bit different. It's kind of weird, so I don't feel like this is a normal North Texas season. Combine all that with the fact that we're, I don't say tentatively excited about this team? Question mark. You know? How do you feel about it? And then we'll talk about the team and why maybe they are exciting or not.
Well, it feels different in both the athletic department. If we separate the athletic department and we separate the football team, it does feel different. When we went from Todd Dodge to Dan McCarney, it felt like everything was growing up. We got more seriousness with the program.
Yeah.
Better coaches, coaches from big programs. Obviously, it didn't work out all that well, but still, you know, that foundation was there of, you know, we're not going to bring in high school people. We're going to have actual
D1 coaches.
D1 coaches, NFL coaches come through. And then taking the next step with Latrell, you know, a more serious nutrition and workout program, a nutrition program both for the athletes and their cafeteria, which is looked pretty cool. I had never thought about something like that before. and then a whole bunch of coaches being brought in from serious programs as well. So I think we're taking steps in the right direction. You know, depends on who you are, if you think they're big steps or small steps, but I think they're just in general in the right direction. We're not going back to old ways, not hiring off high school coaches, anything like that. Serious program is what it feels like. And with the athletic department, you're right. The social media presence is, you know, it went from 10% to 80-90% really quickly over the past year. They hired that social media guy designing, making those edits for, I think, recruits as well as, you know, the calendars and the stuff you see on Twitter all the time. So it's really cool to be able to share that through social media and to say, hey, look, we look good. It was cool to see it on, you know, as insignificant as it might seem, it was cool to see it on the Dallas Morning News. Hey, who has the coolest edit? And we're on there with SMU and UT and A&M, and it's surprising how bad the other ones might have looked, but before we had nothing, and now we have something, and it looks good.
Yeah, just a quick note about that. It's really just a matter of kind of keeping up. Like even if you don't like it, if it's not really super excited about it, that other schools are competing in this space here, right? And it's something that is it's relatively easy, right? Like, I'm sure if you ask the dude, he's like, yeah, it took me a long time to get pretty good at this Photoshop stuff, dude. You know, it's not so easy. Not anybody can just do it. You know, I value my work here and I should get paid for it. I'm not saying that. What I mean is that it seems so small. You're like, why are we paying a guy to do this, right? How important is it? Well, it's the same reason, like, if you want a hat, you're like, you know, it'd be cool if I had a UNT hat, right? And so you go to the store and you're like, well, there's no UNT hats here, right? Or at least none that I like. Why is there no UNT hats? Can we get some? And so that's, you know, people complain about that all the time. And the school's like, what? We have bigger problems. They're worried about a hat. It sounds stupid. You're like, well, here's an opportunity for you to get somebody something they like. You know, you spend the money and they enjoy it, and then it helps you out in the long term. Same deal. Somebody wants to retweet their name or them, you know, whatever, with some cool Photoshopping in the back, right? This is it. You pay a guy, he does it. It's relatively minor, and then they get it retweeted, and people are like, oh, that's cool. It keeps, you know, it's easy. It's all part of the same story. A hat is an edit.
Try to stay in people's minds. You know, you got people like, I traveled to Columbia, Missouri to go see the eclipse, and I took my North Texas hat, and I had my North Texas shirt surrounded by all these Ole Miss students. And they probably had no idea what North Texas was, but, you know, I was represented out there. And, you know, it's building, and I'm just going to say it for you, building that brand.
Well, I mean, yeah, so like, the historical term of a brand, right, was like something that you could recognize, it, right? Like, oh, it's a ranch here, right? It's the whatever TNK ranch. I'm making things up off the top of my head right now, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell. But yeah, so like that, it was the easily recognizable symbol of the whatever, right? The ranch. That's all this is. Everything else is like the story. Like, okay, I see the cool logo, but what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. The San Francisco 49ers logo doesn't have any meaning until Joe Montana wins 4 Super Bowls, and then everybody's wearing it, right? I also hate when people call things iconic, something brand new. They're like, it's like an iconic look. Like, no, it's not, dude. It's not iconic if it's brand new. Like, a baby's not a baby. Michael Jordan wasn't iconic. Michael Jordan split leg jumping from the free throw line was iconic because he did something. You have to do something to make it icon status, you know. Same thing with the brand. It's just a scribble until you put some meaning behind it. So, you know, it's cool. Get it out there. Let everybody see it. Then now we got to put meaning behind it. And to that end, North Texas practiced. They had some injuries. They recruited some guys, and they dispensed with the charade. And named Mason Fine the starting quarterback. Did you believe that Quinn Chambord had a chance to start for this team? Like, really and truly?
Really and truly, no. I didn't think he had a chance to beat him. But, you know, with him taking so long to name a starter, it kind of put that feeling in the back of the head of what's going on here.
What was going on there? I was like, okay. Was it more for Chambord or just kind of to say, hey, we're having a competition? We're not just anointing anybody?
I think it was a combination. I think one, by all reports, Fine wasn't having that great of a spring, but kicked it up in summer and fall. And I guess they were trying to light a fire under Fine to try to get him to push himself. You know, we're not just going to give you this. You're not going to just sit there and be handed this, so perform.
And I think you kind of have to do that. It's a delicate balance that you have to maintain. You know, a coach's job is to improve his players and to motivate his players to improve, you know, which are kind of the same thing, but there's a subtle difference. And I think that latter part is kind of what was happening here. I mean, I never really bought that Spring Game All-Star, two-time Spring Game MVP. Quinn was going to start. I mean, I don't hate the guy, and I know me saying, like, I don't think he should be starting is going to bother some people that listen to the show. Like, well, let me tell you what, that boy can throw the ball, and he's fast, and he's quick, and he's amazing. Oh, cool. He shouldn't be the starter, you know?
Like, I mean, I liked him when he came in, when we had McNulty, yeah. Greer. I thought we should have given him a chance, but, you know, at the time he was injured. Yeah. He looked good from all the stuff he had from his schools, I guess. He went to a couple.
Yeah. He was on tour. There's nothing but, wrong with sampling things, you know?
Yeah. And he looked exciting. He's quick, he's fast, he can run the run pass option, but, you know, there was just some things that I saw during the spring games that he just wasn't improving upon in terms of technique, in terms of skills, which is why he kept losing the job to Fine. Yeah, and I mean, last year to Morris.
Yeah, I think that's really and truly it. Like, quarterback is not a like speed and power position, and so you have to have the other things. And I don't know if he has those things. I mean, I think I don't think he has them. But I mean, I'm not a quarterback guru here, so I can't just like lay them all out. Exactly. I haven't been, you know, coaching him and then seeing him not reach those things exactly. So I can't tell you. But I can say I never bought it, and I'm glad it's done with for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, and also to be fair to Shanbors, he's a really good leader out on the field. When I would go to the practices,
yeah.
He was out there with Chumley when he was taking reps at QB,
yeah.
Talking him through stuff, helping him out, because Chumley couldn't do some of the basic drills, and so Shambor was trying to walk him through that. He was always positive. He was always the guy to stand up. You know, he's the coach on the field kind of dude, and you got to respect him for that. And I hope he goes into coaching in the future, because it looks like he's got that kind of persona.
Well, you know what they say, right? Those who can't do, teach. Right? That's a thing. That's another joke for all you Shanbor fans, I think. Like, the backup quarterback is the most popular player on the team, and so I figured that's gonna be the thing. I thought maybe one of the youngsters would get more of the love, but it makes sense. Shanbor, again, to his credit, has played himself into a position where he's at least in the conversation, which is a lot to say, and that's really amazing. That's good for him. And I don't think that the team will be in really bad shape if Mason Fine goes down and we had to rely on old Quinn there. But I don't think that longtime observers and really nerdy football fans would be super excited about it. A lot of people would explain, like, oh, this just goes back to us not being able to recruit some people, blah, blah, blah. And it brings up a whole bunch of conversations that nobody likes to have any longer. So let's set that aside. It's a time for positivity, right? First week of the season, 2 days, we play a team that's probably not, one, is less talented than our team, and two, is on the road, and three, is probably not going to be as sharp as they otherwise might be, considering they're in Beaumont, and Beaumont is underwater right now. They made it out, but I hear, you know, there's a lot of flooding down there. One of my coworkers' parents live in Beaumont, and he was kind of letting me know what the deal was. And also a Lamar alum. So I asked him a bunch of stuff, like, where did you drink there? What do you do in Beaumont? And he answered some of those questions. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. Are you at all afraid of Lamar? Were you ever afraid of Lamar?
Even before the hurricane, I wasn't afraid of Lamar at all. And even less so now. I think, you know, they haven't really had a chance to practice very well. They're going to be out of sorts. I feel kind of a certain level of guilt. And I hope this game becomes more of like an escape for them rather than a burden. You know, this is something we got to do while all this devastation is going on around my home and family and whatnot. and the coaching staff as well. So I hope it's a fun trip for them where they can forget about the hurricane for now. And I don't think it's going to go very well. I think they're going to have 3 scoring opportunities at most.
Yeah. I agree with you on the guilt part. I was expecting them to postpone it, considering like the travel difficulties, the fact that just the whole region got hit by a hurricane. I think there's something to be said about trying to return to some normalcy there, but it's a little different for, like, say, a pro team like the Astros. I think it's going to be that difficult for them to do it versus, you know, a Lamar, you know what I mean, or
right,
anybody like that. But I mean, I don't know. I was a little bit surprised that the U of H squad decided to cancel the game against UTSA. But I don't know. I mean, I figured they're a bigger school. They had more practice time. They're practicing at UT. And then, you know, it was a short drive down. It was in San Antonio. Everything was fine. But I guess, you know, the reasons given kind of made sense. Like, it was so soon and Houston was so devastated. But I don't know. What's different about Beaumont versus Houston? I don't know. So I think somebody asked me, like, well, what if Lamar wins? I mean, would you feel like North Texas sunk to a new low? No, I wouldn't feel that way. Because, once again, we were shamed beyond shame. I cannot feel shame any longer after that Portland State game. Like, it's it. That was the worst thing that could ever happen to us.
They set the bar.
Yeah, that was it. Like, I can't imagine anything more embarrassing than that. Like, hey, homecoming, 66 to whatever it was. It was 66 points.
Seven.
And seven. And
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like, that's like 66-7 is an embarrassing score. But it was like, well, Oklahoma beat us. Okay, I can understand that. Like, no, Portland State. Somebody's what? Portland State? Yeah, Portland State whooped the hell out of us. Oh, it was homecoming. You know? Oh, we paid them $400,000 to do it.
Yeah, like, $400,000.
Yeah. So once that happens, and it did happen, you know, I feel like I done died and am born again. And you know, I'm no longer the man I was prior to that game. I cannot be shamed by any loss to an FCS school, because it will never be as bad as that one there. So there you go.
Yeah, we won't lose.
Yeah, so that makes it a little difficult to get super excited about this game, because it's not really an exciting opponent. And I know that's something that people on the board and other places have been mentioning when we schedule in a Lamar or an Incarnate Word or that kind of thing. Nobody's super excited about these kinds of games. They're not bad. They serve a purpose. It's good to kind of get an idea of what kind of team you have against a team that you know, you have some buffer. Like, we're going to play. Even if we mess up, we still should win. And that's fine. You know, we can kind of try some... We're not going to get too crazy, but, you know, we can try some different things. Maybe some lineup changes here. See what guys can do. And we'll probably get more reps on offense. So we'll see some things. It's the next step up from a scrimmage. It's not quite a preseason game, but it's a warm-up game. It is what it is. And the use of it is, you know, like, how well we use it is going to be up to us. You know what I mean? If we just go out there and don't try to learn about our team, I don't think this is going to happen. Then, you know, that's a bad use of this game. But if we go out there, put on a show for the fans, also get better and learn some things about our squad in preparation for SMU, then that's 3 checks, you know. Boom, 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 we win. Everybody wins.
And 1 check for Lamar.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. I think overall it's not a bad deal. I don't really like it as a home opener, but, I mean, it's fine.
I like it as a home opener because it's – you go into the season starting at 1-0, and that feels good.
Yeah, well, I mean, me personally, I'd like to see a good matchup just because I'm a football nerd. But, like, I'm taking some family up And they're not super football people, and I'm pretty sure they won't know who the other team is. You know what I mean? Like, if they were FC, they just want to see a football game. When they see they win, they're like, oh, that was cool. They went and won. So, you know, like, from afar, it looks fine. When North Texas whooped up on, what was that? It was like 77-3 or whatever it was.
Nicholls State?
Yeah, Nicholls State. That was fun because the people that don't care, and we got to remember that some people actually don't care about football. They see a big number and they're like, oh, cool, North Texas winning. Like, that has some effect, and it's kind of good for those kinds of things. You were going to say something?
Yeah, and I think it's good exposure for those that don't really care, or, you know, they might care, but they don't want to make the effort to go out and watch a game. I think that's why we saw the sale gone for the UAB and the Lamar games, is the athletic department is just trying to get people exposed to wins and to try to show what kind of the atmosphere that can be established, which kind of, you know, all these changes that they've been doing in terms of social media, their public outreach, the ticket stuff, makes me wonder what kind of stuff are they going to be doing during the actual game.
Yeah.
Outside of just, you know, t-shirt cannons.
Yeah. I think the novelty of a t-shirt cannon is beyond us. Yeah, I mean, okay, so I appreciate all the appeal to all those people, and I think that is a very good reason that whole make the whole game day experience fun and enjoyable. And I think you got to get some wins, and it's fun to pencil in a couple wins. There's nothing really shameful about it. There's useful... ness in scheduling these weaker teams in terms of preparation. I think you get a weak team, you get a rivalry game, like that's the SMU game, I like that. And then you have your conference games, right? There's always going to be a couple you can win, there's always going to be a couple that you're underdogs for, and hopefully you can compete every so often that you can turn a lot of people into some football fans and they can appreciate the finer things and they don't need razzle-dazzle to be excited about, you know, the games and showing up and spending money, but they can enjoy the game for what it is. It's all about a journey, you know? Like, when I was a kid, I needed slam dunk competitions and three-pointers to make me like basketball, and now I appreciate a good, flare screen. You know? It's the evolution of fandom.
I really like a good mesh.
Yeah, I was like, why don't they just throw touchdowns? and then now I'm like, oh, did you see the seal block on the backside? That was, yeah, you know, like, it's the evolution. It's what happens.
Look at him shoot the gap.
Yeah. So, moving on from that, I don't know if there's too much to get excited about the game. I guess we can kind of say, as you were mentioning before the show, expectations. What would be, and you can put on your cynical hat here. Is it a cynical hat or a cynical beanie? Maybe a cynical visor. What is it? I guess what would a cynical headgear be?
Helmet.
I guess that would be it. That would be right. Because it'd be a helmet. You're like, it's gonna rain and probably hail on me. So put on your cynical helmet and say, like, give me the most cynical satisfied point. You're like, they're probably not gonna reach us, but if they got 45 points in a good way, I'll be excited.
Oh, this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking the score is going to be about 44-ish, 45-13.
I think that's right. I think that's about what we can expect. And I think sometimes you can win in a blowout. And I think you win that, like, the way, was it last season? We beat, was it Nicholls again? Who did we play? No, it was it Texas Southern? The FCS. Huh?
Last year?
Yeah. Who was it that we brought in to beat? I can't think of anybody. I'm going to have to look it up. Look, my point is, it doesn't matter who it was because nobody cares. We won the game, and I think, was it Willie Ivory?
Bethune-Cookman.
There you go. Willie Ivory had a bunch of yards, right? Everybody came away happier, so we thought. But that was an ugly win. Like, we ran the ball really well. But our passing offense was terrible. We left a lot of points on the board, and I think we allowed them to move the ball sometimes a little too easily. So we came away like, that was good. We beat them, but that wasn't dominant. And I think, didn't we only score like 30-something points?
41:20.
Yeah, it was like the late run that kind of put us over the 40, right?
Yeah. Well, second quarter, I'm looking at the stats. Second quarter was 17 points. That's the most we scored. And then we went 10-7 the next two quarters. So, yeah, we kind of stalled out. There wasn't a lot of points being scored.
Yeah, and I think my whole thesis here is that there's a good blowout and there's bad blowouts. That was a bad blowout, right? Like, we won, and you look at the score, you're like, what's the big deal? He ran for a lot of yards, so ran for over 300 yards, dominated the game, right? It's a win. Well, no. I think Seth Luttrell has an idea of what this team looks like when they're winning the right way, I guess, playing to their strengths. To me, I think last year you can kind of say, like, when we win, we're scoring, like, those amazing, like, an amazing catch and run every once in a while, that those surprise ones, and we can run the ball well, right? And then we get a couple stops and get a couple field goals. That's basically how we win. This year, we don't know what this team's going to be, but I'm guessing it's like one or two passing touchdowns, something more akin to the way we played in the bowl game and some of the better Mason Fine quarters, because he didn't really have a full game where he was awesome. But like a completed drive. We moved the ball well at sometimes, and we didn't complete drives all the time. So that's that. You know, against a Lamar, we score those touchdowns and don't kick field goals. We get first downs and get field goals instead of punting because we held, you know, somebody held the defensive end or something like that. You know, we get a stop and don't allow them to score a touchdown, force them to a field goal. Don't force them to a field goal, make them punt, that kind of thing. You know, it's the full extension where we score 45 points instead of barely getting to 38. Does all that make sense? Am I making sense over
here? Yeah. And to put it into perspective, last season when we played Bethune-Cookman, in three quarters, we outscored them 24-20.
Yeah.
So against an FCS team, that's not, I guess, in terms of expectations, that's not acceptable. So yeah, I agree with you that we have to show a little bit more dominance both on offense and defense. Don't let them get into scoring range, and that includes field goals, more than three times.
Yeah, so the starting point of the game, you can see preparation. Like the first quarter, first couple of series is when you see how well the team is prepared, how, you know, like ready to play each team is. The next part of the game, it's usually first line guys against first line guys, and that's pretty even. And as the game moves on, you see the depth of the squad and like the resilience. It's generally how football goes, right? And so so in each of those phases, if we come out and we look terrible, that means guys weren't prepared, people were not ready to play, and maybe we don't know who our starters are, right? That's what that's going to mean. If they come out and kick Lamar in the mouth, considering the circumstances, we can say, good, this is how it should be. Everything's going fine. We're firing on all cylinders. Maybe we don't have a Ferrari just yet, but we got a nice Civic, and it's pretty good. And when you open her up, she can move, you know? So, right, you know? Makes sense.
Yeah, I get you. In terms of the offense, I'd like to see, I know you said you wanted to see Fine move it around and score some touchdowns. Yeah, I'd like to see that, but I'd really like to see the three running backs, Tucker, Nick Smith, and Jeffrey Wilson, to combine for about five touchdowns, one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this game goes according to plan, like if we play the way we're supposed to, meet expectations, I think Jeff Wilson comes out and gets a 130 and two touchdowns, you know, a couple of those easy ones where maybe a better, a more talented team would tackle him, but this team can't, and so he shakes out of it and scores a touchdown. Like, I mean, instead of a 7-yard gain, it's a 15, and et cetera, et cetera.
So yeah, and I want to see how they use Tucker in goal line packages, which is what I assume they would. Who I assume they would use.
He has a little bit more girth to him.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see Kelvin Smith. I want to see what he can do out there. We talked about him like every podcast. We mentioned this guy. He did well last season in the spots he was in. There's like a renewed emphasis or whatever. I think he's gonna be good. I'm excited to see our more talented, like the name guys, right? The Guyton out there. Yeah, Rico Busey.
Mike Law.
I don't know. I'm not excited to see him. Like when he goes out there, I'm gonna be like, time to get a beard. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, so we were sold that this is gonna be a passing team, and I'd like to see some passing touchdowns. I know we can run the ball. We demonstrated that all of last season. This is the kind of game where, yeah, we can just give it to Jeff Wilson and he probably can get 250 yards if we really wanted to. But that is not, like I said, that's not a good use of our time. We need to get better passing, right? We need to work out some kinks. We need Mason Fine to sling it about and, you know, get some reps in where he has a safety net, sort of. I mean, I feel really terrible calling Lamar that, but that's what they are, you know.
If he gets about 200 yards passing, then I think that'd be a good day.
200? He needs to be at 250. I feel like
if he plays a full game, 250. Yeah. But I don't think he'll see a full game. I think because of how long they dragged out the Shambor thing, we might see Shambor in the fourth quarter.
That's true.
Which would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, last year against Bethune-Cookman, we saw quarterback rotation. We saw what's his face out there, and he played terribly.
Morris?
Yeah, Alec Morris is out there. He was in the third quarter. They did quarterback rotation, but he came out there, and he did not play well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd much rather have had, like, a Lamar Bethune-Cookman to start last season, because that would have done the team a lot of good. And then play basically have this schedule last year. I think that would have worked out for that team a little bit better. Yeah. I think Brett Vito made mention that he was thinking that North Texas really needed this tune-up against Lamar ahead of that SMU game. I agree. You know, SMU's they got a lot of talent, and they're going to be a handful. But I still think that's a win. Meanwhile, what are we, 30 minutes in? Do you want to quickly go through your schedule? I know you've been dying to do this. You keep mentioning it. You're like, oh, I have them at, you know, 12-0 or 13-0. And you just keep talking about this on the conversation. So, yeah, I'm maybe exaggerating just a tiny bit, but not too much. Let's go through it. We'll do the September 1st. You give me yours. I'll give you mine. And then we'll compare and contrast. So, Lamar.
That's a win.
At SMU.
Loss.
What? At Iowa Hawkeyes.
Loss.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to pretend I don't know who they are from like the whole day. Iowa? What is that? UAB.
A win.
You've waffled on that one, man. I don't trust
you. I have.
Even right now, that sounded kind of wavy. Like, win. September 30th at Hattiesburg, Southern Miss, Golden Eagles.
Loss.
What? I think we're going to whoop them dudes. Okay, so I say Lamar is going to be a win. I think we can beat SMU at SMU. And this is my early, I feel good, I'm going to call it a win. Mm-hmm. We're definitely taking a loss to Iowa, and I think we beat UAB. Southern Miss probably will beat us over there in Hattiesburg. I don't think we ever, we beat them easily, handily, in Hattiesburg once, and that was like in the early days of What's-His-Face's career. They're in a transition stage, but they seem like they got a good team. I think we can win that game, but I don't think we're going to. We've seen one real quality road win from Seth Luttrell, and that was the Army game, and that had all kinds of special circumstances, right? It was like weird weather. Army turned it over approximately 750,000 times, and it was just
corners were slipping.
Yeah, everything was just weird. So that was the biggest road win, but then you're like, but you had help from God. You know, that's cheating, Seth. God was helping you. I don't know what he's going to be doing on September 30th. What is God doing that day? I don't know. I need to check with his secretary. Is it Joel Osteen? Is he a secretary? all right, October. Give me your October games. Home against the Utsa Roadrunners.
You don't want me to say it.
after a bye week.
I'm going to go with loss. I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry, listeners.
God, you're the worst. I'm going to write hate mail to your podcast here. Okay, at the Florida Atlantic Owls.
Win.
Yeah, I think we can beat up on Lane Kiffin's squad. Old Dominion Monarchs in Denton. They're everybody's hot team. That dude is funny. Like I said, I talked to the guy, the coach. He's a cool dude. Like, I'd want to sit down and just talk with the guy. Like, I'd rather him be on this podcast than you. but, you know,
he's over there coaching. I don't take offense to that.
But he's over there coaching, you know, and you're not. So I guess it's the best I could do. I don't have a whole lot of pull, ladies and gentlemen. So Old Dominion in Denton.
Man, I thought this was going to win. I had a feeling it was going to be a win earlier in the offseason. But taking a closer look at their team, they're bringing too many people back. And they put up a lot of numbers on offense, and they were pretty stingy on defense. It might be a loss.
It might be a loss. What is that? Thoroughly so, loss. So much conviction in there. Okay, so then we have – that's all October. So we'll just do those three games in October. I say we beat UTSA. Here's my quick rationale. We almost beat them at their place last season with a makeshift team, right? We were in mid-transition to becoming an air raid team with a freshman quarterback. We lost because of freshman quarterback mistakes. He's not a freshman quarterback anymore. So he shouldn't make those mistakes this time. Also, we're in Denton. Also, we, you know, all the other things. It's going to be right after a bye. It kind of lines up pretty well. I have good feelings about that. We usually play okay in October. So I feel good about that. I think UTSA is, they have a good team, but I don't buy the hype. Florida Atlantic, that's a W. Although I wouldn't be surprised if we took an L out there in Boca Raton, just because it's such a far trip. You're just like, every once in a while, you know, you just randomly think, what the hell am I doing way out here, you know, so far away in Boca Raton, Florida? And, you know, they have that offense. Weird stuff can happen.
The beaches are nice. The women are beautiful.
Yeah, you're just like, why am I trying so hard? What am I doing? Old Dominion. This one, I also, excuse me, have gone both ways. When I put on my sunny mean green cap, I feel good about this win. And the short thumbnail version of it is that Old Dominion played really well at home against lesser teams. Like, anybody that was good, they played them at their home. Like, UTSA, everybody said, wow, they were all good. They whooped the hell out of UTSA. But that was in Virginia, right? They didn't play so well on the road. And also, Texas is a far trip for them. You know, it's not just on a bus. It's way over here. And that can do some things to some folks. I'm just going to go ahead and keep that on because I don't want, like, to wear my cynical mean green helmet. And, you know, after all this hurricane stuff, I don't want to be super negative. I'm going to call it a win. By the way, in case you're keeping count, I only have us down for two losses right now.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's do November. At Louisiana Tech, Bulldogs.
Loss.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and spoil my turn right now and say, yes, that's going to be a loss. I can't really see us beating Louisiana Tech. They're the class of the conference, and they always beat us over there really badly, and they will do that this time. The UTEP Miners at Apogee Stadium, Saturday, that's November 11th. Veterans Day, right? Veterans Day, yeah.
I don't think so.
Isn't it the 11th?
Isn't it usually on a Tuesday?
No, isn't it always the 11th? I don't know. Let's not investigate. Googling
it right now. No, you're right. You're right. Saturday, November 11th.
God, jeez. Respect our troops and our veterans, guy. Jeez. don't even know what day they have.
A win.
A win over the UTEP Miners. You know, yeah, I just, again, I'm going to spoil this. I think we beat them, but the last two seasons that we played them, the last three seasons that we played them, it's always at the end of the year, and it never happens the way I expect. I have zero respect for UTEP for whatever reason. I don't know why. I'm just like, they're not good.
Well, they don't have Aaron Jones anymore.
Yeah, but I did not expect them to destroy us the way they did last season, and I did not expect them to hang around and pull out a win at the end of the season that the nadir that season. Yeah, we should have won that game, and we should have competed in last year's game. So I don't know really what to expect. They don't have Aaron Jones, right? But they have the other guy, the other running back, who is pretty decent. He's going to get a lot of reps. He's smaller. Who knows? UTEP, they could jump up and beat us by 40 in this game. I would not be surprised. I'd be angry, but not surprised. All right. Finally, final 2 weeks of the season. The Army Black Knights in quickly growing to be our most played game. North Texas versus Army. Saturday, November 18th, Apogee Stadium. It's going to be on BN Sports. Is that a win?
BN Sports. I'm looking at the schedule, these final two games, and I thought we could only pull out five wins on the whole schedule. I'm already at four, but looking at these two teams, I think we pull out a win versus Army.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say yes. I'm going to call that a win. One of the reasons I think we lost in the bowl game was that they were pretty angry about the way they played, Army was. And they dominated the game. They ran for 400-something yards, whatever. But they could not keep up with us because we almost beat them. You know what I mean? Like, it was in overtime. They had to pull out a couple fourth and ones. So that tells me that even if Army plays a stellar offensive game and our defense plays a horrid defensive game with maybe a couple decent plays, as long as we have an okay offense, we should be fine. And that's kind of what we're trending to be, right? Solid up front, sort of. Hopefully we get English back by then. And maybe questionable at linebacker. Solid defensive backs. If we can kind of hold them to, a decent amount of scoring, we should be able to score with them.
You're right. The bowl game, we had a couple huge misassignments that led to those huge, those long touchdown runs by Army.
Yeah.
And then we had the crushing interception by Tyler Wilson, I think.
Yeah, that was awful.
Who should have thrown it away, but I mean.
He's not a quarterback. Yeah.
They knew what mistakes they made, and those were the three biggest reasons we lost the game. And I think because we played offense better than we did the first time we saw them, I think we're going to be even better this at the end of the season. If everyone's healthy, we should pull out a win there.
Yeah, I think the one consistent there was that we didn't do a good job of stopping Army in either game. We got lucky in the first one where they just turned the ball over all the times. But our offense got lucky, too. So, we were lucky in that game. In the second game, the bowl game, they destroyed us offensively, but they could not stop us either. Like, they played about as well as they could play in the second game, and they had to go to overtime and go for it on fourth down to win it, right? So, there you go. The next and final, Rice.
That's Rice, a win.
Rice, who beat us 2 years ago, nearly beat us last year, had a 17-point lead in a very must-win game at home in Houston, Texas. What is Rice? What are they going to be this season? I don't know what to expect. They got absolutely hammered by Stanford, but Stanford is a good team. They're a very good team. But, I don't know, the way they got handled was pretty awful.
Yeah, they couldn't move the ball. I mean, last year, I guess they were trying to be like a mixed offense, like some run-pass option. They kept rotating the quarterback in.
Yeah.
I forget the name. Herman
Stealing,
German.
Was it Stealing?
Stealing in German.
Yeah.
And I think they just mismanaged the offense last year. And I think they did that. They're starting to show that again. And the defense is not good. And, the seat is getting hot for Bailiff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know how, like, again, it's college football, so you can't look back too far and you know, point out any trends. But the last two seasons, Rice has been a game where we have actually moved the ball a lot. So that's good. Rice cannot stop us. You know what I mean? And by the way, the last two seasons of North Texas football offense have been pretty terrible. They've been some of the worst that we've seen in a lot of years. And yet our bright spot has been Rice. So I'm not too scared about it. I feel like we're on pace to be a better offense this season. So then I look at that Rice game in November. I'm like, well, we should kill them then, huh? They should be destroyed. So I'm going to go ahead and put that a win because Rice does not look good. That said, I thought UTEP was going to be better last season. And then most of the year, I was looking at that UTEP game as a definite destruction, by us. But then it was obviously reversed. That's college football for you. So let's do some tallying. In September, you had us 2-3. October, 2-1. 1-2, sorry. And then the final month of the season, you had us 3-1. So 3, 4, 5, 6 wins. 6 losses. Look at you. Down the middle. Centrist over here.
Yeah, I'm slowly moving up from 4-8.
Violence on many sides over here. That's Mr. Aldo. Let's see. What did I pick us? I gave us only 3 losses. 1, 2, 3, yeah. 3-2 in the first month. 3-0 in the second month. 3-1 in the final month of the season. 9-3. Look at me. God, I'm like the only one that roots for this team, man. It seems like I'm like the only one who cares and is willing to put their podcast reputation on the line. I felt good about the team last season. Going into it, as I was doing a season preview, I'm typing it up. My whole argument to everybody who'd listen was, I don't think the defense was as bad as the stats showed. I think they gave up halfway through. It was really difficult, and they were frustrated by the offense. I think with a little coaching, a new scheme, and some excitement, maybe a couple new players, things should be better. And lo and behold, it came to pass. The defense was better. It was by no means great. They gave up a lot of yards to Western Kentucky, to Louisiana Tech, to Army twice. UTSA moved the ball pretty well after a certain time period. But they were not awful. They were not a sieve. They were mediocre. This season, we're returning, the same defensive backfield. We even got a guy that's starting over, Eric Jenkins, who is arguably our best, most playmaking corner. I don't know if you can call him our best. I still think Nate Brooks was our best.
He was electric.
Yeah, Nate Brooks is still our best corner, and Nate Brooks draws the number one guy and does a hell of a job. So I like it. I like what we bring to the table. Excuse me. I think I don't want to say we're weak at linebacker, but we have questions there. We don't have answers.
We're weak at linebacker.
We're weak at linebacker. The good news is that we don't really have a lot of teams that like to just line up and run straight at us, except maybe UTSA will try to do that.
UTSA, UTEP, Iowa, SMU, Army. Old Dominion, Florida Atlantic.
Old Dominion maybe. Old Dominion maybe will not do that. Also, Old Dominion lost their quarterback, so that's going to be a question mark.
Yeah, that's where I had the optimism come in, but man, their running game is really good.
You know what? You want to tell you a secret? Here's a secret. Our linebacking core last season wasn't that great either.
And it's worse now. we're bringing in, and I mean, no offense to the team. I don't like the dog on the team, but we're bringing in my concern is that we're bringing in a strong safety to play linebacker.
But that's kind of the way things are trending. I agree. Look, we don't have the lineup that we want out there, and I don't really call Josh Wheeler a linebacker. Even though he's a linebacker, he's more of a defensive end. He basically played defensive end, and also he's disappeared. So
we basically have two linebackers.
Yeah. Brandon Garner is a hell of a linebacker, though.
I like him. He's small, but I like him.
So who's going to start? Was it McDonald? I think that's what.
McDonald. He's 6'4", 215.
Yeah. That's not ideal. You kind of want him bigger, but you don't want him too big. You want the guy to run. I mean,
he's really agile. I watched some of his West Texas tape or film, whatever you want to call it. Video highlights.
It's neither. It wasn't on tape and it was not on film. You were watching this back in the past, I guess, of his home movies when he was a child.
I watched his digital. That's what I watched.
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, God, we sound like such olds. Like when people say rewind, you're not rewinding anything. You're not winding nothing. Nothing is wound.
Screw Best Buy. Yeah. I mean, Blockbuster.
Yeah. So, I agree. Like, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it. Our linebacking core is not ideal. But I will say I'm glad we have a dude like Brandon Garner who balled out a lot during the season.
If he's you watch good. Closely, I like him.
He makes a lot of plays. He can move around the field a lot. You know, good stuff happens while he's in there. I'm hopeful that the guys that we do have, you know, like a Colton McDonald, I don't know.
He's agile. I mean, if you run straight at him, he'll be able to stop you.
Yeah. So I mean, the thing is that like this defense, it was so at times when we lined up and attacked people, that was great, and that's what we're kind of aiming for. If you look at a team and you go, man, there's a few dudes that are undersized. That's the nature of the 3-3-5. Like that's why it was designed by was it Rocky Long back when Brian Urlacher was the middle linebacker. Like we got dudes that can play, but they're undersized. How do we? And you know, like we're losing. We can't get the monster at perfect linebacker to play here because they keep going to Texas or USC or Colorado. You know what I mean? Like the bigger schools, they draw those guys. There's only so many people in the world that are prototypical linebacker size, and even fewer that are good prototypical linebacker size. And we kind of had a version of this conversation about quarterbacks. So you want guys that can play. And the idea is we're hoping here that these guys don't pop off the roster sheet, but they pop on the field. You're like, wow, that guy can play. That lanky 214-pound tall dude should be playing basketball. That guy's good, you know. And you know, it's on Reffitt to design up a defense that maximizes his strength, because every other opposing offensive coordinator is going to look at him and say, "What doesn't he do well? Let's make him do that." You know, this guy can't tackle; he's going to have to make 50 tackles this game. If that guy can't cover, guess who we're putting in pass coverage? You know, that's the nature of the game.
And I think the focus is going to be on disrupting the passer. You know, if the passer can't get off a pass comfortably enough, which, you know, when we played SMU last year, Matt Davis was running all over the place. But being Matt Davis, he was able to set his feet and throw a pass off, and Cortland Sutton was able to get to it. And I think we can win those battles a little bit more often against the quarterback this year. I'm a little more optimistic that the defensive line and the you know attacking linebacker can at least help out the interior linebackers from having to do that kind of work.
Yeah, I think if you wanna kind of just game plan for the defense, a very generic game plan. Right? Obviously, none of this is gonna really happen, so nobody yell at me if they don't actually do it. But first down, we stop the run. You still stop the run, always. And even maybe sell out to stop the run. And I say this knowing that other teams will be like, you know, they always do a run blitz on first down. Let's do a run pass option and try to get some over top. That's what was going to happen. But that's what I'm saying. This is very generic. You kind of sell out on the run, right? Second down, maybe harass them into a sack. Then third down, you can play pass defense. And I know this is every defense ever, but that's not a bad strategy for us, considering those are our strengths are you know, pass defense. We're pretty decent at pass defense.
You're kind of describing our defense last season. We had one of the best second down teams in the nation because of what you're saying. They attacked us on first. They got a lot of yards on first down, and then the pass defense was able to disrupt the pass on second down, and then third down they just had the short completion.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean that's the deal, is that like we let a lot of things go. We're not going to hold teams to 0 points, right? We're going to have to get into some games. It's going to be a scoring game, and that's okay. We have to come to grips with that. What we need are game-changing sacks. We need game-changing interceptions. And then there's interceptions are more repeatable than like fumble recoveries. And that's good because like interceptions are usually you pressure the quarterback, you force them to make a bad throw, a guy picked it off. And you can probably break down the types of interceptions that we got and determine which ones are more repeatable than others. But like the ones where he's blanketed and the quarterback had to force the throw into him, those are repeatable. Why? Well, because we forced him into a situation where the quarterback was going to have to force that throw. You either made it where he couldn't see the guy, or you forced him into a third and fourth and long where they had to make that throw. Or, you just had great coverage and, you were near the guy and he had to throw it and you were there to get it. I think North Texas did a good job of pressuring the quarterback last season within reason. Compared to expectation, they should be about the same, I would think. What we're hoping for is more completed plays where they get to backfield, and as you were describing, Matt Davis was able to evade our tacklers. Let's turn those into sacks. Maybe one more sack. Like maybe when it's 3rd and 45 and he's about to throw it deep, maybe sack him then, because then that changes that whole game. Little things like that. But I still think we're going to give away other things that happened in that game where guys were not quite in the run fits and a guy breaks out for a 45-yard run where you have a guy one-on-one and he kind of trips up a little bit and their best receiver catches it and takes it to the house. Like, sometimes that happens. Sometimes we do a lot of one-on-one, a lot of man-on-man, and you're going to get beat sometimes. Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, they took every advantage of our guys.
Yeah.
Of the mismatch and talent. And, I mean, there's nothing to do. Like, if I guard LeBron James, I'm not going to stop the dude. Maybe I get lucky if, he dribbles off his foot once. And I'll, say I beat him up. But, no, he's going to just dunk on me the whole time. There's not much you can do. We can't sign Joe Hayden. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. We have who we have. 6-6, huh? What did you predict last year?
Last year I went 4-8.
You went with 4-8. That was not bad. Last year I think I picked.
You went 7-5.
Is that what I said? Yeah. And I think
you got the numbers right.
Yeah. Well, the ones that I was like, I guess, wrong about were SMU. I thought we'd win that game. UTSA. And UTEP, and because I thought we'd lose to Southern Miss, and I thought we'd lose to who else?
Probably Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall. Those two. Those are the ones that got flipped for me. So you never know with this thing. Like last season, coming to the year, we thought Southern Miss was going to be really good, and they were disappointing. And sometimes you catch a team at the right time. And, we caught Southern Miss at the right time. We beat them.
Yeah, they still ended up winning 7 games. So they're not a bad team.
Yeah.
We caught them off guard.
Yeah. And so, you catch a team at the right time. And then all of a sudden you're like, look at us. We beat that team who is clearly better than we are. But, we jumped up and beat them. So I think we're both saying we're going bowling. Where are we going bowling then?
For my sake, I'd like to keep them local. Hard in Dallas. Yeah. Maybe Frisco, just to mix it up.
Yeah, I'd be fine going to the Heart of Dallas Bowl every year. It's fun. I think it's good for everybody. Sure, eventually we'll get tired of it, but I think if we mix in a Conference USA Championship game every now and then, that's the deal. I've been writing that I think that what we should always place the expectations relative to winning a conference championship game, right? Like, how far or how close are we to winning one? I think we're not. I mean, yeah, I said 9-3, but I don't think we're very close to winning a conference championship game unless we pull off a major upset of Louisiana Tech. But Louisiana Tech is clearly the class of our division, and then if we had to face anybody from the other side, I don't think that we can beat Western Kentucky or Middle Tennessee. I think we're clearly behind those two, at least.
This year.
Yeah, this year. Is that about where you put things?
Yeah, I agree with you. We may be at the soonest two seasons away from competing for a conference championship. You know, we're only two recruiting cycles in for Latrell, and yeah. One of them was a month long.
Yeah, so, I mean, rank the division, the West. You got Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss, UTSA, North Texas, UTEP, Rice. Is that about where you put it?
About right.
Yeah. And see, I think we're about even with UTSA. And, you know, they're about, I don't know where they're going to be on their quarterback situation this season or next season. They lost a few guys. They recruit well, but I still don't buy it. I don't really know what they're all about, what kind of team they're going to be.
For me, that's a 50-50 game.
Yeah, and I think that's always going to be. We're even with UTSA, I think. And we always have been since, like, 2014. And but Louisiana Tech has been better than everybody for a long time, and they've been getting better players, and they still regularly get better players. Southern Miss is kind of hit or miss, depending on your coach. I'm still thinking that the jury's out on their guy, Hobson. UTEP and Rice both are going to fire their coach if they have a terrible season, methinks. On the East, how do you rank it? Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, Marshall? Marshall, FIU, FAU? Is that about how you do it?
I think I would flip Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky. I think Marshall would have a better season.
This season?
This season, yeah.
Well, I mean, wait, you don't rank Western Kentucky as the best team in the conference? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to go Middle Tennessee.
What? Look at this. That would be new, fighting new words coaching if you were staff. Up there in yeah. Tennessee. Down here, nobody cares. I think that's about right. Old Dominion went 10-3 last season. That's so surprising.
I know, it's so weird.
They were not that, again, they had a, they caught teams at the right time.
I think they quietly reached that mark.
Yeah, because then they didn't really play anybody. If they had to play our schedule, they wouldn't have been 10-3. That's why I'm excited. That's why I think, looking at this 9-3 schedule, I don't think mine is super outlandish. You know, going back to the schedule quickly, Lamar's like 99% sure we're going to win that. SMU, I give us about a 45% chance of winning, and I feel like that's enough to be a coin flip. Iowa, we're definitely losing that one. UAB, probably 60%, 70%, you know, because you never know what's going to happen there.
that's funny you say that. It's like, I'm, you know, they're a startup team. We should beat them, but we are North Texas.
Yeah, it just kind of a weird game, especially coming off that Iowa one. It's deep enough into the season that we might have injuries. Like, it's just kind of weird. It's like, all right, now is the time, depending on how we play in the first three games, that game is kind of a weird one.
But we should win that one. Yeah, I think we win it handily. I think we also have the taste from the last time we played UAB still in our mouth.
Is there anybody? There's like a handful of guys that were on that team then. Here's why I'm a little like wary. I still think we beat them pretty easily, but here's why I'm like, well, maybe our strength is still our run game, and I think their strength is probably their run defense. Right? They got Shaq Thompson, right? Their linebacker there. Mm-hmm. I just look at that and say, well, maybe our strength won't be too strong, and then if you even everything out, it's kind of a coin flip. That's kind of how I talk about that. At Southern Miss, what do they call that? I call that a loss. Yeah, that's about right. I feel that one's probably like 30% chance of winning. UTSA, that's 50-50. Again, we should have beat them in San Antonio last season. Give us 55%. FAU 60%, Old Dominion 50-51.
Being a home game, yeah.
Yeah, it really depends. Like we'll know by the time October comes around what Old Dominion is, because they lost a quarterback. Everybody's talking about them. They got lots of hype, where they were underrated last season and under the radar. They're going to be properly rated. People are going to be looking at them and say, hey, Old Dominion won 10 games last season. You know, we can't just settle for a sloppy game, blah, blah, blah. So, and we talked about the rest. That's kind of how I'm saying it. We can win nine games and still not be a good team. And that's okay, because that's the nature of this conference. And that's also why we got to look at Latrell and say, hey, dude, you should be winning some games, because it's not a great conference.
USA. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude. Which is, by the way, which is also why I don't highly rate UTSA's head coach, just for that same reason. I'm like, he won six games in Conference USA, buddy. It's not that great. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we spoke for an hour and 10 minutes, roughly. I want to thank you again for listening. Aldo, you have anything to say as we wrap this up and think about
I'm excited to go tailgating on Saturday. You know, got my thoughts and prayers down with folks down in the Coastal Bend area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once again, give your money, give your time, give whatever. Make sure you're doing that effectively. I know there's going to be like a rally, or there's going to be like a place to give there in Denton right this weekend, like something associated with the game going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places you can donate. Check with your local police department. They're taking donations for their first responders that they probably sent down there.
Yeah, I just think that's a more effective way of giving. This is, like, my cousin was like, yeah, just if anybody wants to give, I'm like, well, I appreciate the thought, cousin. You're also just a guy, right? You know what I mean? Like, I know you don't have any disaster response training. Yeah. So I'm like, your heart's in the right place, but maybe just deliver all that stuff to the guys that get trained on this, and at least have a PowerPoint presentation every so often where they go through what they're supposed to do. Just that way everybody can get the help they need, and we don't have a disaster upon a disaster. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Go Mean Green.